Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Five-Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of the Five-Star Zone. Rico Beard, Harold Shelton. Harold, let's just jump right into it. Michigan State had senior night. And man, oh man, oh man. It wasn't pretty at all, but they did find a way to pull it out. They scored 20 points at the half. 20 points. I've seen teams where they can't hit threes or they can't hit jumpers. This team can't make layups. They can't make layups and they can't make free throws. Two things that are pretty much the easiest thing to do. Free throw is unguarded, so there's really no excuse why you can't make it. And the layups, they drive to the basket and they just there's just no touch. And even like when guys like Tyson makes it, it's got to be like some trick shot. It's just like not some easy thing to do, but they find a way. They pull the game out 53-49. Game was in total jeopardy, so much so that I've been trying to figure out. I know it's happened before, but it was like a senior night where they didn't have enough space between the opponent to actually call a timeout, let the seniors come out, kiss the floor, and walk off. They had to do all of that in the post-game ceremony.
Yeah, it's been – I was trying to think of the last time, and I feel like the Draymond year when they lost at the buzzer was the last time that they lost on senior night. The previous 11 all before the Northwestern game, they all had a big enough lead where they were able to take the timeouts and shuffle guys in and out like they normally do so everybody can get that moment. And it looked like they were on their way again. They got up five. You know, then Langford hits the three, and it's like, okay, now this is going to go down to the final seconds. If they get a stop there, they get five, make a couple free throws, they could probably do everything as usual. But because they couldn't get a stop, you know, on that possession, it was like, well, we gotta try to do this all over again. But the main thing is, 12 straight senior night wins. At least they were still able to have a celebratory kissing the court. The fans were still into it, so everybody stayed afterward and they got their moment. They didn't get it for TV, but for the fans that were in that building, they were all able to celebrate like they normally do on senior night.
Talking with Andy Katz, one of your coworkers, he was saying that, you know, if you're Michigan State, you almost, it sounds bad, you almost wanted to lose that game because you're better off on the 10 line than in the 8-9 game. And we've talked about this before. Now that you've won, you got a quad one victory, you beat Northwestern. I feel like you got to almost win. You got to beat Indiana, and you need to take at least two in Minneapolis in the tournament to try to get into that seventh spot. I don't think anybody wants to be a part. I mean, this year, the one seeds, and really the two seeds are no slouches either. Mm-hmm. I guess in a perfect world, they go on a long run in the Big Ten tournament and somehow can inch their way to that sixth line. And then that's when you see the drop off, I think, between the two seeds and the three seeds. But if you're MSU, I guess, how do you see this thing finishing out for them?
So I think last night was huge for them just because now they go to Indiana and Indiana's found some signs of life here these last couple of weeks. They won three in a row. You know, they beat Wisconsin. They just dirt rolled Minnesota in the barn on Wednesday. So they're starting to figure some things out, and they give Michigan State a lot of issues. matchup wise, just because they like to play two bigs and both of them are really good on offense. And so knowing Izzo, I feel like he's not going to try to go small or anything like that. He's going to play two bigs as well. And their two bigs are better than Michigan State's two bigs. So I think that could be an issue. You don't have to really worry about them shooting threes too much. Mike Woodson's very much a 1990s basketball style where we just want to, you know, play in the paint and, you know, get most of our points at the rim as opposed to taking threes. So we'll see if Michigan State can make any threes to win that game. As of right now, for Big Ten tournament, it looks like they are anywhere from 5 to 8. If they lose to Indiana, it looks like you're going to be in that 8-9 game, that first game on Thursday. If you win it, you avoid that, and you're either 5, 6, or 7, kind of depending on what happens from there.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm still worried about Tyson Walker, though. Dunk aside at the end of the game that didn't count, he just hadn't looked like the same player since that groin issue against Minnesota. And like, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but
I know he's got the groin injury, but I've said it for the longest, man. I think his back is just worn out from carrying the team for the last couple of years, where he's a team player. He's not that type of guy, but you know, deep down in the back, he's like, will any of you please step up and help me out? And now, like, Malik Hall all of a sudden has turned into the player we all wanted him to be. And I'm sure now Tyson is like, well, thank God at least Malik is here to help with some of the heavy lifting. AJ Hogarth, we still really, I mean, he shoots a lot of shots, but they just don't fall in. Jaden Akins really has disappeared since the Michigan game. And I know, yeah, I do realize that, yes, Tyson is hurt. He did have the groin injury, but I don't know how much of that is that or how much of it is just fatigue of, I mean, you saw it last night. And I mean, the game against Northwestern, missing some shots, like missing the free throws, just doesn't have that same, the legs are getting weaker. It's just not the same Tyson. You wonder, you know, does this team have enough rally in them for one more strong push? But yeah, you're right. But there's still a lot of question marks. I still say if they put it together, they got a combination that can go far in the NCAA tournament. They got a strong backcourt along with my guy, who I think everybody keeps saying, got to play more Booker, got to play more Xavier Booker, got to play some more Xavier Booker. Lost in the shovel, Harold, is Trey Holloman. Trey Holloman is quietly becoming that guy, and I thought it was so fitting because I don't think any other Spartan fan wanted anybody else to go up to that free throw line up two because we just escaped. I thought Boo Boo was going to kill him. When they were up two and had the ball, I was like, and you saw all the new
for it.
Right, sitting up there, and Boo Boo beats him again. Yep. They miss it. He gets the free throws, ice water in his veins. Nails probably the two biggest free throws he's ever shot for Michigan State. I think Trey Holloman does not get the run that he deserves. And I know next year he's going to be the leader of the team, but I still think that they're going to have to rely on him a lot more. His assist to turnover ratio is one of the best in the nation. He just needs more time.
No, I agree with that. And I'm looking forward to next year where you get a Holloman Fears backcourt. There's two dogs just getting after it on defense. If you would have asked me before the season if Trey Holloman would be your most reliable three-point shooter, considering you had Tyson Walker and Jaden Akins, I definitely wouldn't have said that. But it's certainly turned out that way. I feel like Walker in the last 2 months of Malik Hall are like the only guys who have played at or above preseason expectation. And I think that's the biggest issue with this team. You start number four in the country, you figure that, okay, A.J. Hogarth can take a step, and then we'll see consistency from Malik Hall, and, you know, the bigs will get better, and Jaden Akins, you know, who declared for the draft, he'll come back and show us why, and it just really hasn't come together. I mean, I do agree that, you know, guards win in the tournament, and if they get the right matchups where they don't have to strictly play in the half court, they could do some things, but if it's not that, I just have a hard time seeing them score a lot of points if it's a half-court game.
I know. I mean, I look at Trey, and I've said it before, and, you know, I realize that this is one of those that I may be a little bit ahead of my time. But the similarities, not just the headband and not just the number, but he reminds me a lot of Cassius Winston. And I say that saying this. When Cassius – everybody remembers the junior-senior Cassius. I'm talking freshman, sophomore Cassius – where we were talking Miles Bridges, we were talking Jaren Jackson, we were talking all of the other players, the Josh Langfords on the team, Nick Ward. Cassius was kind of that, and yeah, Cassius, this guy from Detroit, Cassius Winston. Then as the years progressed, he started making more and more shots. But you in this soft Cassius sophomore year, I started to see the confidence build. Mm-hmm. I see the same with Trey, that I see more and more confidence that I do think, kind of like Cassius, his junior year, that's Trey's team. Like, Jeremy Fears is going to be on the court, and Jeremy Fears is a dog. This is going to be Trey's team to run, Trey's team to facilitate and move the ball around. I see a lot of Cassius in him, not just the headband, not just the number, but his style of play, that three-point shot. He doesn't look like he's the most athletic person on the court, but somehow, Harold, he gets buckets. So just something to watch out for. Now, I do want to mention this. You brought up Indiana and Michigan State's next game. Mike Woodson, did he just save his job beating Minnesota at Minnesota?
So before that game, they said he was coming back. And I wonder if the two previous games wound up saving his job because it seemed like there was a lot of, you know, upset Hoosiers there, even though they were a four seed in the tournament last year, made the tournament the year before that. Apparently that wasn't enough. people were wondering if this was a good fit or if he should be back. But I think the fact that, you know, they were able to beat Wisconsin at home, you know, the week before, you know, Notter on a 3-game win streak, they're starting to figure some things out. I mean, they're certainly talented up front. I mean, yeah, the backcourt's been an issue, but I mean, I don't know if you'll find a better pair of bigs in the conference than Renew and Khalil Ware. I mean, those two dudes could play, and I think they could give Michigan State a lot of problems. They're going to have to shoot their way to win it. And the issue is, if you look at the last five games, Jaden Akins, 6 points a game, 27% from two, not three, two.
Right.
A.J. Hogard, 9 points a game, 37% from two. You know, Tyson Walker's only shooting 39% from two. You know, it's Jackson Kohler, who we'll probably see a lot of on Sunday, only 36% from two. So, I mean, to your point of like missed layups, a lot of these are missed layups.
Yeah.
They just can't make them for whatever reason. And the styles of play are very similar for both of these teams in that neither one of them wants to shoot threes, even though they can shoot them at a pretty decent clip. When they do let it fly, they just don't really do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. But, yeah, I guess I look at Indiana. I mean, Woodson appears to be back. I think what may have been the game of the week, and hopefully a lot of people got to go on Peacock to watch it, was the Purdue-Illinois game. I mean, I thought Illinois was going to pull it off, and then Purdue came back. And I was like, oh, Illinois is going to pull this thing off. Purdue finishes the game on a 13-5 run. Braden Smith, the shot that hit that when the Wikipedia version of ball game of dagger shot was his, because what I thought was going to happen was Braden Smith, the guard for Purdue, was just going to dribble out the ball and force Illinois to foul him. No, my man lets loose with about a 25-foot three, just heat check, bang, ball game, shoots the ice water in the veins as he's running down the court. Like, is this Purdue team for real? I mean, They and they put a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and everybody's going to say, yeah, but you lost to Fairleigh Dickinson last year. You're a fraud. You can't make it to the Final Four. But this team seems a little different. Now, Harold, I'll say this. You're the stat guy. Can this team, Purdue team, win when the three-point baskets aren't falling?
If they're not falling, I don't think so. So I thought it was interesting in the first half of that game, Illinois pretty much didn't double Edie at all. They're like, you know what? We'll just give you two. We'll try to make you work for it, and we'll score on the other end, and we'll live with the results. Purdue only had 1-3 in the first half. They were down six, and Edie had about 20. And in the second half, you know, Purdue made it was 8 or 9 threes, and it was from everybody. It was Gillis. It was Fletcher Lawyer. It was Smith. It was Lance Jones, who hit a big one late. And the fact that you have four shooters around Edie makes it really, really tough to guard them. So it's like, what do you do? Do I let Zach Edie get 25-30 on 60% shooting, or do I try to double and send it out? And they got, you know, four guys shooting about 40% or at least 35-40% from three. And I just feel like they didn't – they gained confidence from last year. I feel like both of those guards kind of hit the freshman wall at the same time a year ago. And then when the games got tight, like the Fairleigh Dickinson game, nobody wanted the ball. Like, Braden Smith didn't want it. Lawyer didn't want it. Gillis didn't want it. I think having a guy like Lance Jones, who played really poorly in that game the other night, don't care. Ball's in my hand. I'm letting it go. And you need a guy like that.
Because Lance Jones, to me, has kind of gone the way of Jaden Akins, where all of a sudden – he's just not making shots anymore. He's taking good shots. Mm-hmm. It's just not falling. Don't know what's going on with that. So Big Ten tournament is going to be up next week. I guess the question, who's not the top three teams, but in your opinion, who are the hottest three teams in the Big Ten going into this tournament?
I would say Iowa. I would say Ohio State. And you could – I mean, Purdue's an easy one, so I'm not going to go there. But you could say Indiana.
I was about to say, you could say Purdue if you want. I mean, like, if I said, okay, Harold, $10,000, I'm going to give you three teams, and if either one of these three teams win the Big Ten tournament, you get $100,000. Who are the three you taking?
Oh, in that case, yeah, I'm going to Purdue, Illinois, and I'll go Iowa. I would go Iowa as my third.
I like where you're going, but I also like Ohio State, man. It's something happened when they did that coaching change. All of a sudden, he's able to identify the plan for this man. I think he should be the head coach, but I'm not the athletic director there. They're going to go for a big name. I keep hearing Sean Miller is in the mix. I think you're wasting your time. I think you're wasting your effort because I think you got somebody that you could probably pay a lot less. Iowa, man, I want to say Iowa, but I've seen this movie. Iowa just, they're not made for the big moment, man. They're not. You may be too young to remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon with Michigan J. Frog. But he was singing dance when nobody was around. But as soon as the lights got bright, he just turned back to a frog. That's what I see with the Iowa Hawkeyes. Purdue, I mean, I've been Brad Underwood and a lot of different coaches said, what's the difference between Purdue, like the Big Ten and Purdue? And they're like, well, they got Zach Edey and nobody else does. Zach Edey gets away with a lot. Gets away with a lot of traveling. Gets away with a lot of fouls. Gets a lot of good whistles. But yeah, so long as they are, my question is, if you're Purdue, Izzo would never feel bad when his teams were good if they didn't win the Big Ten tournament. Because if they got knocked out on a Friday or Saturday, it meant we got extra days rest, bigger fish to fry. You're Purdue, you're one seed for Painter. I wonder if they had that same mentality. Yeah, it's cool you win. Because it's always like, look, if we make it to Saturday and we lose, fine, we get a day off. But if we win, well, we might as well try to win this damn thing. If I'm Purdue, knowing that the stigma is you don't do well in the tournament, it almost seems beneficial for them to really not take the Big Ten tournament serious. I know it sounds ridiculous if you're a competitor. But why burn yourself out playing three games in 3 days when you can get some rest knowing everybody's waiting for you to fail and you can prove them all wrong?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because if I'm Purdue and I already know I have the one seed locked up, I already know I'm playing my first two games in Indianapolis, I know I'm going to be in the Midwest regional in Detroit. I'm still going to try to win it, but maybe I don't play Zach Edey 35 minutes. Maybe he only plays 30. Maybe Braden Smith, Fletcher Lurie, we don't see as much of them. We see more of the younger guys come in and play, especially like on that Friday against the 8-9. Maybe it's a situation where you just see the minutes slide back a little bit to try to keep them fresh. Because you're right, there's no point in trying to burn yourself out when you have much bigger fish to fry. And I feel like last year when we saw them win the tournament, you know, they kind of breezed through the second half of the Rutgers game that Friday. Then they killed Ohio State on Saturday. But then that Penn State game, they almost wound up losing it and then had to, you know, fight to finish it. Then they didn't really seem to have a ton of gas in the tank for when they played Fairleigh Dickinson. And so you definitely want to win it as a competitor, like you said. But if you don't, I mean, you won the Big Ten regular season, and you're going to win it by minimum 3 games, most likely. So, like, your legacy's already cemented there. Like, you got much bigger fish to fry. If you win it, cool. If not, it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, I've always said winning the Big Ten regular season, especially if you do it outright, means more, because you have to do it through 20 games rather than – I've seen teams get hot. I saw Iowa get hot. I saw Ohio State team with Brent Darby back in the day, they had a losing record. They just got hot, and they end up – I saw Penn State do it. You can get hot and win this thing. Doesn't mean you're the greatest team. It just means you're the hottest team at that moment. So, yeah, I now look at it. So far, I've seen the Big Ten with 6 teams making the tournament. Do you think that they could get a 7th team? And if so, who do you think it's going to be?
So, for now, it looks like Iowa is kind of making the run towards it. They are first four out in a lot of the projections that I've seen. They only have one regular season game left, but it's a big one. It's at home against Illinois. If you win that game, that's a quad one. It gets you in the mix there. And if I'm Iowa, I don't want the double bye. Like, they could be seeded anywhere from 3 to 7 right now. Mm-hmm. But you want it to work out where you can beat Illinois but not get the double bye. So then if you're the sixth seed, you got a chance to get maybe a quad two win, you know, in that Thursday game and continue to build your resume that way. You right. get two more wins instead of one. And that might be enough depending on what happens around the country. I feel like the other six are pretty safe right now. I think Michigan State needed that one on Wednesday to kind of solidify theirs. I think that as long as Nebraska doesn't lose at Michigan, I think that they're in and they don't have to sweat. And that should be the six.
Now, the one that I'm wondering, especially if somehow Ohio State can go up against Purdue again in the tournament. Now, we talked about Purdue may not be playing everybody because it doesn't mean anything. Ohio State could get Purdue or Illinois and make it to Saturday. I got to think that maybe they've worked themselves into that play-in spot where they're playing in Dayton. Would that be enough, or would they need to win the whole thing?
So I was wondering about that too, and I haven't seen them on any projections or mocks yet, but I'm wondering if they're 21-13, which means they win – this Sunday, and then they get two in the Big Ten tournament eventually to get to Saturday. Would that be enough? And it probably depends on who the two would be against. Right now, it looks like they could be seeded anywhere from 9 to 12. So if they win and they are a 9, let's say you beat Indiana or Minnesota or Michigan State in that 8-9 game, and then you get Purdue, like you said, if it's Michigan State Purdue and you get two quad one wins, like, would that be enough? I know they don't look at last 10 games, but they would only have one loss or two losses in that stretch with two wins over Purdue, two wins over Michigan State. Like, that would say a lot. And I think they have a very interesting case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it now, and it looks like they, if, you know, everything holds equal in the final games, they would play Indiana in the 8-9 game, and then you get Purdue.
Yep.
I got to think if you knock off Purdue two times in 1 year, the committee has to take a look and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. We just said that Purdue's the number one overall seed, and this team has beaten them two times in one season. Maybe they need to be in this thing.
Especially because it's not the same team that it was earlier. Like, they had a coaching change. They're clearly playing different style, different. The defense is much better than it was under Chris Holtmann. So I know the committee's supposed to look at, you know, significant changes within the roster. And so if you do that and you see two wins against Purdue, you see, you know, a Michigan State win, a Nebraska win, an Indiana win, all since February when he took over, you would think that that should matter in the eyes of the committee. But, you know, we would see – we'd have to see how it works out. But 21-13 Ohio State could have a very interesting case.
All right, Harold, next time we check back in with you, the Big Ten tournament will be underway. I think the Wednesday game will be over, but I don't expect any Wednesday teams to make it all the way through. Mm-hmm. But it'll be the Thursday games, and we'll be preparing for the Big Ten tournament. Harold Sheldon, Big Ten Network Senior Research Manager, kind enough to join me here on the Five Star Zone. Harold, appreciate it. I'll see you next week, buddy.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
All right, man. See you.